Oh, snaps!
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mirza Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. But I tell you what we do on Fridays. It's Dr. Judy Jasek Day. How are you today, Dr. Jasek?
You know, I'm good. I'm happy to be here, enjoying some spring weather. Happy to be able to spread some more truths, as we were just talking about. At least truth as we see it. Not everybody agrees with things as we see it, but I feel like it's, my truth, because that's the only way I can live and operate is, you know, doing things I believe in.
Yeah. You know, we see a lot of controversial things out there. You know, I'm watching the vegan diet for dogs is really, you know, coming on strong, which, you know, I guess Dr. Jasek will take a look and see what the blood work says. We'll look at the body and see if they can maintain a good muscle structure. I don't understand how that can be good for the dogs. And I talk a lot about Dr. Paul Saladino, the carnivore doc, right? Mm-hmm. The carnivore MD. He just doesn't see the value in fruits and veggies and actually, well, some fruits like honey and avocados he likes, but the rest of it, he's like, not good for people, can't be good for pets. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, those are the ingredients that If especially if you have like GI issues, I usually tell people to stop feeding. I saw a case just this morning. Little dog has had, you know, kind of progressive GI issues, diarrhea, sometimes bloody, getting more frequent, you know. And so I look back through, you know, we're going through the whole diet history and looking for common threads. And they had tried some commercial raw blends and some dehydrated. And then of course they ended up, the dog had bloody stool, they ended up at the ER. Now the dog is on ZD, which actually the dog is doing, as far as its stools, doing pretty well on that. I guess the dog was very painful defecating. But they recognize like that's not a good diet going forward. And they were on board with the whole idea of feeding fresh, but they weren't sure what to do at this point. So they found me. And so, you know, we talked through the whole diet. Of course, you know, the dog's been regularly vaccinated all along. And I said, you know, this could be part of the reason why this is amping up as your dog gets older, because every year you give those shots and then it's going to inflame the body more. But, you know, the one common denominator was everything they fed, except for the ZD, which I don't recommend, had produce in it. The dehydrated did. They had way back when had the dog on kibble, which we of course know that isn't good, but even all the fresh food feedings had the produce and the, you know, synthetic vitamins and minerals and all of that. And so, and this dog otherwise like looks great. I mean, perfectly healthy, has normal blood work, just cute little chihuahua mix, just perky, happy little dog, you know, nothing else going on. And I just said, I would really try a diet with, you know, just real food and no, you know, no produce, no synthetic vitamins and minerals. So, you know, I sent him home with some Wolf Run Plus. I said, this has tripe in it. It could be really, you know, good for, you know, this little dog's digestion. So we'll see. They said that when they fed the raw, they said the dog just loved it. So I don't think produce is always bad. I think we always, you know, we have to look at the dog. That's the thing. You know what? Some people will come in and tell me my dog will not eat if there's a piece of a vegetable in their food. I'm like, well, then don't feed vegetables, feed more organs and feed more of the other body parts. If their dogs just love to eat veggies, I say, well, do the low glycemic, you know, veggies. So we're not feeding lots of, you know, starchy veggies, and, you know, don't make it more than, you know, 10 or 12% of the overall diet. You know, we don't want to make it a major part, but it's okay to feed it. Cause I think that can help, you know, support the microbiome. But I really don't think they're nutritionally necessary. I kind of follow the pet's lead on that and see, like, do they like them? Do they not like them? And then, you know, go forward based on that.
If a dog gets diarrhea on one of the tripe blends, it's typically the tripe, right? So I would say if you see that, then see if that dog will go for something more like a beef PMR, something mm-hmm. with that, or just a straight beef blend.
Yeah, I sent some PMR with them too, because I said, okay. I told him about the tripe. And he said, you know, give this a try. If that doesn't seem to, you know, agree with her, then, you know, the PMR would be a good, you know, thing to try next.
Well, and two, just give it 3 or 4 days, right? Let them get all that crap out of them. Literally. Literally. Yeah. But you know what I wanted to talk a little bit about, because a lot of the stuff that we were talking about prior to the podcast was depressing. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about doggy depression, because, you know, I'm not sure that people recognize that maybe their dogs are depressed. And, and so I found this article. It was in Dogs Naturally. I want to give them credit for everything that we talk about. Andrea Partey wrote this in April, actually. She's talking about symptoms of dog depression. Now, you know, Dr. Jasek, when I look at symptoms, so many symptoms cross over into something else, right? So we sometimes as human beings, we read something, right? So you have an issue, you have something going on with your body and you consult, you know, Dr. Google, and then all of a sudden you think you're dying, or it's one thing and it's really another, right? Here is what doggy depression could look like according to this article. It sounds a whole lot like a human's reaction to things that happen in their lives. But they said that if your dog all of a sudden has a lack of interest in play, is no longer wanting to take walks, it acts clingy or needy, change in sleeping habits, lack of appetite, change in behavior or demeanor, well, they could be experiencing some kind of dog depression. And I will have to say that I did see this in our manager's German Shepherd when the oldest German Shepherd passed away, when he was gone, because this was his buddy, man. This was his leader, right? This was the pack leader. And when Duke was gone, we absolutely saw depression in this dog. And they do say that if you have a loss of a family member, or the dog is bored, or they have a lack of purpose, they can experience doggy depression. Do you agree with that? Do you think that these animals actually have that emotion?
Oh, absolutely. I do think animals experience emotions that can affect their behavior. And I would also say you want to be careful that you're not overlooking some sort of, you know, medical condition. But, you know, think about if your dog is showing some of these symptoms. You know, I kind of equate it to, you know, like everybody in life has like had a relationship go south and you break up and you get kind of depressed. And how do you feel? You feel like laying on the couch, eating comfort food, watching whatever your favorite guilty pleasure show is, or binge watching, you know, TV or whatever. You don't feel like doing, you don't want to do anything, right? And you're depressed. I mean, so if you think about that, I think the same thing could happen with dogs, because, you know, we're energetic beings, humans are and dogs are. And when we're not excited or we're not passionate about something, or we don't feel, you know, a sense of purpose, you know, you sort of lose your ambition. And I do think the same thing can happen with dogs. So think about the, you know, recent changes. Did somebody leave? I've seen this sometimes where like the dog is really bonded to one of the kids in the house. They go off to college and like, this is their buddy, you know, the one that they were like with all the time. And now all of a sudden their best bud is just taken off. So it's a big change. So I think you will see those things. And the way you would know is to, you know, think about, well, what is the dog like to do? You know, dogs all have their favorite activities, whether it's ball playing or going on hikes or, you know, whatever they enjoy, you know, getting the dog out and doing those things. And if it is truly an emotional response, then those types of things should perk the dog up. And again, if it doesn't, then you might want to get a medical checkup. But, you know, think about what changes have occurred and what's going on with the people. You know, if somebody in the household, you know, just lost their job, or there's some, you know, family struggle or something going on, you know, dogs really pick up on that energy. So they will definitely pick up on the human energy in the household. And so, you know, be aware of that. And if that's, you know, the type of thing that's going on, it could do everybody good to get out for, you know, more walks, get outside, enjoy some fresh air and some activity and get back in nature. And that can help both the dogs and the people.
And I have a customer here in Colorado now. However, they were in Texas. And I remember the day she called me and she said, she was calling me because she wasn't a customer. She was using another company's food. And she said, I want to use you guys because I think there's just something wrong with this food. My German Shepherd, she had a German Shepherd, would not eat this food. Now I know this company very well. I said, I'm going to have to disagree. Although I would love to have your business, I don't believe that that has anything to do with the food. And I mm-hmm. said to her, what's happening in the household? And she said, well, and then it clicked. And she said, you know what? I just got a diagnosis of cancer.
Oh gosh.
And she said, and the whole household has been, you know, they had to run out to MD Anderson, and there was a lot of energy change in the house. And she said, it so correlates with this change in my dog's behavior. The dog was not mm-hmm. sleeping in the bed. It wouldn't eat. There were all these behavior changes, and the dog was picking up on this. Mm-hmm. Now, fast forward, they move out here to Colorado. Dog's eating great. There's no problem. Her cancer diagnosis is in remission. She's happier. They had a change of pace. Da 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 da. Dog's fine.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely think that they are going to pick up. And even when people argue, right? So we had a lab that if Rick and I got into a elevated, you know, like, you know, you're upset with one another, maybe you're not even screaming and yelling, but that energy level is coming up, that dog would hightail it upstairs. They were like, I want no part of y'all.
Yeah, that's right.
You
guys work out your stuff and then I'll come back and rejoin the pack when you're done.
Yeah, yeah. Or like if back in the day when we were watching, you know, sports, you know, screaming and yelling, you know, go, go, go. That dog was like, I'm out of here. The energy was too high for this dog. Didn't like it.
Yeah. So I've actually had people ask me for tranquilizers for football games
because
they were like, you know, they'd have family and friends and, you know, like you were saying, everybody's screaming and yelling and throwing stuff and, you know, just getting all rowdy. And like, the dog just couldn't take it, you know, plus, you know, now you get the big screen TVs and all this stuff. And so they would actually ask me for something to tranquilize the dog for a football game. So yeah, I've seen that too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, some of the things that they say can cause depression in dogs, boredom, lack of purpose. So boredom, right? So I think that we just assume, Dr. Jasek, that our dogs want to be at our feet all day long, but dogs really, they need to have some type of a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We're not even supposed to let them bark. Right. So a lot of times people are coming, UPS, mailman, whomever, and we shut them down. We don't want them barking. Right. They can't bark. They can't go outside and run around. They can't go hunt. What are they supposed to do? Just lay around all day?
I know. And dogs, you know, I mean, I know that most people like that we see, you know, they don't have a choice about keeping their dogs on leashes all the time. But, you know, I think dogs need to be able to just run and play and be dogs and interact with other dogs if they enjoy that. And some activity where they can just, you know, be dogs. Because I think exactly what you're saying, we're like, we want our dogs to behave like humans. We don't want them barking, but dogs are natural protectors. Like that's what they do. They protect their homes and they protect their packs. And that's, you know, that's natural for them. Now you don't want it to get out of control maybe, but you know, that's natural for them. But if all their natural instincts are being suppressed, like, yeah, it's like, how would you feel if somebody shut down everything you ever, I have a mother that did this to me. As a matter of fact, I know exactly what this feels like. Everything you ever talked about wanting to do, like she'd give you a reason why it wouldn't work or why you shouldn't be doing it. She's always like the devil's advocate and it doesn't feel very good. You know, I did stuff anyway, but you know, cause I was the rebel daughter, but you know, it really doesn't feel good. You don't really want to keep, you know, talking to that person very much, or certainly don't share everything about what you're doing. And I think the other thing with dogs too, that's super important, is look at the breeds and where the breeds come from and what their heritage is. You know, you have German Shepherds. Those are working dogs. They like to have a job to do. And we see so many just neurotic German Shepherds that come in here. And I just know these dogs, they're like never worked with. They're smart. And it's like taking a really smart child and putting them in school and expecting them to sit at a desk 8 hours a day. And then you wonder why they're antsy and can't pay attention because they're bored, you know, they're bored. And then they just drug them, you know, they diagnose them with ADD and put them on, you know, drugs. But what they need is activity. And, you know, some dogs, like some of your giant breed dogs, like your Great Danes, you know, they're probably a little more content to lay around a little bit more. But these really smart dogs, your herding dogs, you know, in your working breeds, they need to have something to do. That's in their genes. Like that's really in their constitution. And they are just not going to be happy. And they're not going to be, you know, they're not going to have optimum health if they can't do that.
Yeah. You know, we with Lazzie, right? So Lazzie is a protection dog. She's a working dog. She goes hiking with Rick every day. If you have a dog that is well-trained and you can let them off the leash and let them run somewhere outside of a dog park, I would do that. And he does that every single day. Then we have a Chucket, you know, the balls that you have and you can throw them in the Chucket. We take her to a baseball diamond where nobody is. And we play Chucket until she tells us, she lays down with the ball and says, I'm done. Right. So we make sure that every single day that she does that. Plus, then she has to do her work out in the backyard with all of the training stuff. So what else can you do? Well, you can give your dog raw meaty bones. That is one of the things that will stimulate your dog's mind. They say it helps the jaw muscle, shoulder muscles. You know, a lot of people, again, we talk about this a lot, are fearful of bones, but I am telling you that dogs know how to eat bones. When we were at the ranch, this was so funny. I should have taken a video of this. There were at least 3 legs of an elk that had been mutilated by some animal, and they were just laying in the yard, and the dogs were all chewing on those for the days that we were there. And so not only did that address the issue of I'm worried about bones, but also bacteria. And these are the healthiest dogs ever, right? But these are the way that dogs eat. I can tell you what would depress me if I was a dog born of a wolf, right? DNA, and I'm being pampered out the wazoo. I can't even be a dirty dog.
Right. Exactly. And then they're healthy, you know, as we've talked about, they have a healthy gut. They're natural scavengers. They can eat stuff that's been laying around outside and be perfectly fine.
Well, and the thing about it is that exercise, okay, at least you've got to get it. The same thing holds true for people. They're saying at least an hour's worth of exercise a week. Come on, that's probably not enough.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Right, should be a day. But they're saying that, look, that absolutely is going to boost the immune system. Right? What else helps? The oxygen uptake, right? You get all that oxygen into your body, going to totally boost the immune system for your dog. The other thing is making sure that they get outside, right? I will tell you that my dogs and the ranch dog, they love being outside. literally just laying in the dirt.
Yeah.
In the dirt, right? They want to lay in the dirt. They want to walk around. They want to eat the poop that's out there. They want to chew on the elk legs. That they're like, I'm loving life. They want to go walking through the weeds.
Yeah.
Right. They were very, very, very happy doing that. And so I would say if your dog can get out and get some fresh air, get out of the condo, the house, or the apartment where we a lot of times have it so closed up, we're not even getting fresh air in. It's right. Extremely important for depression and just for all around good health.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
If you find that your dog is depressed, let's say that you have a dog that has died, their buddy, one of the kids go off, maybe have a family member, but they were talking about the homeopathic, and I know you use a lot of herbs. Homeopathy versus herbs. Can you give us that definition?
Well, herbs, you know, you're literally using the plant. It's a dried plant, usually put into prepared into some sort of tincture. So, making tinctures actually can extract some of the constituents. And a lot of tinctures are, you know, we use alcohol to extract the constituents of the plants because the alcohol breaks down the plant cell walls and gets the constituents out, the medicinal constituents out. Or sometimes, you know, it's just in powder form and you can give your example, but you're giving the actual whole plant. Homeopathics, they start with an organic substance, and then they do a homeopathic dilution, which is they dilute to the point that there is no actual organic substance left. So it's like 1 to 10,000 or 1 to 100,000 or even up to 1 to 1,000,000. It's very, very dilute. So the resulting product contains the energetics of the original substance, but none of the biological properties. So they can work really well for pets that say have really touchy stomachs, touchy GI issues, that, you know, sometimes, or say they're not eating well for one reason or another, they've not been feeling good and they're not eating well. And it's hard to put, you know, things like herbs in the food, you know, if they're not feeling good, you don't want to do anything that's going to make them suspicious of the food bowl and wondering what you're going to be adding in next. With the homeopathy, you know, you can put it right in the mouth. There's no taste. When we do homeopathy here, we put the little homeopathic pellets in a dropper bottle with distilled water and dissolve them out. And then because in humans, they say, well, hold these little pellets underneath your tongue. Well, you're not going to get a dog to do that, right? So, but you can just dissolve them in distilled water. Then the water takes down the energetics of the pellets and you could just put a little squirt in their mouth. So it's very easy to give pets that, that don't feel good. There's one that I do use for like dogs that are vomiting, you know, there's all these pharmaceutical medications for vomiting, which just do nothing. You know, they sometimes suppress the vomiting, but they're not treating anything. But there's a homeopathic remedy called Nux Vomica that I'll use because it's hard to get things into dogs that are nauseous. Like they don't want to take in anything. And you can give them, you know, just some of these drops right on their gums and that can be real effective, but it is more energetic rather than the actual biologic substance, but because of the processing, it takes on the properties of, you know, the substance that is being made. And also sometimes like there's an arsenicum, which is very good for detoxing. Well, it's this whole concept of like treats like, so a patient that might respond to an arsenicum homeopathic might have the symptoms of arsenic poisoning. We're not giving enough, you know, not giving the arsenic, you know, in a large enough quantity that it's going to cause that, but giving the energetic form can actually help with similar symptoms. And it's very good for, you know, detoxing pets that get into things or like abscesses, things like that. It helps the body, you know, body push things out. So I guess that's the basic difference.
Nice. Either way, neither one of them are pharmaceuticals.
Right.
We believe that there's a place for both. in the world. However, I still think that we've got to keep pressing forward and keep pressing that flea and tick and heartworm. You guys, these are pesticides. I did a podcast that Dr. Faulkner had his information out about trifexis. Oh my gosh, Dr. Jasek, it was like heartworm, flea and tick and something else all in one. I was like, oh my. Yeah, that hurts me.
And the other thing is, don't do things that last. I think they have a heartworm shot out now that's good for a year. Don't do things you can't take back. I mean, at least if you give something that's, you know, just going to last a month, in a month, supposedly it's going to be out of your pet's body. And I don't recommend the flea and tick pesticides either, because those are actually neurotoxins. They can be very, very hard on the body, but for goodness sakes, don't give your dog some sort of injection that's supposedly going to last a year. Because if your dog reacts to that, your dog's going to be sick for at least a year and probably longer, because you can't take that stuff back out of their body, you know, once it's in there. If you are just super concerned, you're traveling somewhere where there's lots of fleas and ticks, and I always recommend the more natural route, you know, natural repellents or diatomaceous earth, or there's some garlic supplements that I sometimes recommend. But say, you know, somebody's just super concerned and just feels like they have to give one of these more conventional meds, then just give the ones that are going to last for a month. Say you're going on a trip or something and you want to make sure you don't bring fleas back. Yeah, do, because most of them out there now are these like 3 month ones. And, you know, they do that because they can get people on board because it's more convenient. Yeah. Don't do that stuff. Just do the most. If you just really feel like you have to do something like that, do the most minimal treatment that you can.
Yeah. And I'd like to do a podcast at some point on Lyme disease. Do we really feel that there's a prevalence of Lyme disease from tick bites?
Yeah, right. That's been controversial for a really, really long time because there is an organism that they have identified that's associated with testing positive for Lyme disease, but then Lyme disease can be so chronic. And so does that mean that the organism is still there, or I think there's another, you know, inflammatory process, maybe set off by the organism, but maybe other things too, because the antibiotic that, you know, treats Lyme disease, the doxycycline, can be an anti-inflammatory in nature and can sometimes help with joint pain and, you know, other things. So there might be something else it's treating that drug is treating besides just killing the microorganism. And, you know, I can't get on board with putting pets on antibiotics for months and months and months, which is usually, you know, recommended. So yeah, that would be a great topic. Ozone therapy is very effective for Lyme symptoms too.
Nice. Well, if you feel your dog is depressed, yeah, we're going to let them have some time. I think they do need some time to get over the fact that your human or your pup's not coming back. I always wonder, Dr. Jasek, if you leave a dog in a kennel facility, you know, a daycare facility, and you go on a trip, how do they know you're not dead? Always wondered that. I'm always like, do they know you're coming back? What point do they get depressed? I mean, it's interesting, right? Because I mean, maybe your dog just went for training. There's a lot of people that their dogs go, and maybe they're the young ones and the older ones don't care that the young ones are gone, but they go to training for 6 weeks.
Yeah, right. They do like the board and trains and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's all very, it seems on some level, they must know that they're gone permanently. I'm not sure, but I don't know what that is. But if you think your dog is bored, let's do a couple of things. Give him some time, get him outside, get him in the fresh air, give a dog a bone, give them some raw meaty bones to chew on, exercise. And maybe you want to do a consultation with Dr. Jasek to give this dog some herbs to help them with their doggy depression. Make sure, too, that you're giving them a species-appropriate diet, because nutrition is going to be lacking in the commercial kibble foods. No doubt about it. Too high a starch. Man, that would make me depressed too. And I think they find that in people, Dr. Jizik. You get too much sugar, you know, you're going to get depressed, crash.
Sure, because you're not you have to support brain health. I mean, I think part of dealing with, you know, depression or anxiety or any, you know, behavioral or emotional issues is your brain has to be healthy. And how does your brain stay healthy? Well, you have to give proper nutrients and especially, you know, healthy fats. Fat is super important. Fish, you know, fish is brain food. I remember hearing that. My mom used to say that. I remember used to hear that growing up. Oh, fish, we had to eat fish some because fish was brain food. Well, that's because it's high in, you know, the omega-3s and it's very, the anti-inflammatory fatty acids, the omega-3s. And, you know, I will often add in extra fat and some of our patients, you know, the tallow and the lard, the healthy animal fats. So be sure there's, you know, enough of that, enough of the nutrients that the brain needs.
Yeah. The great omega-3 that we have on our site is called Potent C, S-E-A, Potent C. Does not have to convert those types of omega-3s. It goes straight into their body. It's a great one. We also have the green-lipped mussel oil as well. But fish is always good. Fish is great. I just came home last night and gave my dogs a fish meal because we've been traveling and didn't have anything thawed out. Fish is always great for those times when you forget to thaw a row of food. So you just throw those fish in a bowl of water, thaw them out, bada bing, bada boom. You got a great meal and your dogs get that great level of omega-3s. Listen, everybody, you want to get over to Dr. Judy Jasek's site. Where can you find her? At ahavet.com. And Dr. Jasek, lots of vets have been contacting you. They're interested in your way of doing business. So we want to put a shout out again out there to the vets who feel that maybe there's a better way. And you can contact Dr. Judy Jasek at ahavet.com. She will help you. She will show you the light at the end of the tunnel and recognize that it ain't no train.
Yeah. And, you know, just a little side note on that, you know, my practice is quite unconventional. I'm practicing out of my home and we started small and it's just me working by myself. And now I have employees and I've been amazed at how much we can do in a very small space. So for veterinarians that think that you're locked into your job because you have student loan payments and you just don't know how you could make ends meet going out on your own, or that's kind of scary. Let me tell you, I've done it both ways. I've gone out, got the bank loan, bought the practice, which was a lot more financial stress as compared to what I'm doing now, or I just let my business grow organically. I just decided this time around, business is going to support itself. I'm not going to go borrow a bunch of money to get this thing moving. It's going to support itself. And it has, and it's done very well. And so there are things, and I've been talking to some veterinarians about doing this, and it's just, you don't get this information elsewhere. It's, you know, because the only thing you really learn about in school is about, you know, your traditional veterinary clinic, which is extremely expensive and your overhead is very, very high, but I can do a tremendous amount in a very small space. So if you're frustrated in your jobs and looking for options and you'd like to be practicing differently, but you don't know how to make that happen, really reach out. I'd be, you know, more than happy to consult with you.
Yeah, we need more vets like you, Dr. Jasek, throughout the country. I mean, we don't even have enough here in Colorado. I just got an email today from a customer who said, can you recommend a vet for me? Because I am tired of going into my vet and getting the raw lashing. You know, she said, I can handle it. I just don't want to have to deal with it every single time I go in to be berated because I'm feeding my dog a raw diet. So,
yeah. And it's getting, you know, it's getting worse. I actually had a client that it wasn't because of the raw, it was because her dog didn't have a rabies shot, and she was taking the dog in for itchy skin, and the vet would not see her, flat out refused to see her unless she updated rabies. So it is getting really hard out there to find good care, you know, without following, you know, the mainstream notion. So yes, we absolutely need more vets out there that are, you know, willing to think a little differently and actually look at the patient and treat the patient and not just follow standard of care protocols.
Wait a second. So the dog had itchy skin, but the vet wanted to give them a rabies shot, correct?
The vet would not even talk to her. She could not even be seen. She said, I knew this because I just wasted my time. She went into the clinic and the tech told her, the doctor will not see you because your pet does not have an updated rabies shot. And yeah, the dog had itchy skin, so you certainly shouldn't be vaccinating. She didn't even know the dog. She hadn't even seen the pet yet, but she would not even engage with the client unless the dog had an updated rabies shot. And this was the type of person that said, okay, well, no, thank you. I'll go elsewhere. Which is exactly what I encourage people to do. If that should happen, I think most people just roll over and get the rabies shot. And then guess what? Their pets itch worse. So I was like, thank you for not getting that shot, because at least we don't have that additional layer of inflammation that we're going to have to deal with to get the pet feeling better. But it is getting bad out there. We really need vets. And I talk to people all over the country, even in other countries, and it's the same everywhere. It's the same everywhere. I mean, any veterinarians out there interested in this kind of work, I can guarantee you, you could do this anywhere. There's such a high demand, and you'll have essentially no competition working this way. And it is so much more rewarding because you're actually helping your patients heal. You're not just suppressing symptoms. They actually get better and they stay better. And it's so much more rewarding.
Yeah. So come on, vets, get on over to ahavet.com and talk to Dr. Judy Jasek. And remember, everyone, it's really easy to put your dog on a species appropriate diet. We take all the guesswork out of it for you. I know we have a lot of products, but that just means you have variety, variety, variety. Don't be afraid to switch over. Your dog will thank you. You will be so glad you did. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the Raw Dog Food Truth. Please tell all your friends to listen. You know, we're giving out tons of free advice, tons of information. We have many, 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 many years of experience. And so we want to share that experience with you. Get over to rawdogfoodandco.com, where your pet's health is our business. And we're friends. Don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.